Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Now, the Hall of Justice.
Oh, yeah.
Is that in any way related to the corridor of correctness?
I think that they it connects them to the Funny Fun House. I don't know. That was horrible.
Yeah, I put you on the spot. It's my bad. My bad. Jason is here. Kareem is not. There's apparently an outbreak in his home.
Oh, outbreak of what?
He did not say, and I did not ask.
Yeah.
It's always a don't ask, don't tell with me because I don't really want to know what level of liquid is coming out of your backside.
Yeah, right.
And that's always the danger.
There's always that danger.
And I don't want to know. So that's
we'll you don't want to know, so you don't ask.
Exactly.
That's a pretty
let that be a lesson to you, ladies. I don't want to know that. Well, you fucking asked.
Yeah.
If you ask all these probing questions, like, "Oh, what about this? What about this?" Eventually, and sooner than later, you're gonna hear something disgusting you didn't want to hear.
Yeah.
And it's your own fault because you fucking asked. That's what I say.
True dat.
Let that be, that's my lesson of the day for everybody.
Hey, welcome to Nate's Corner.
The whole thing is my corner. Yeah. Welcome to my domain. On the show today, the president, he's been busy. We'll also talk Kathy Griffin, Ken Jennings, and have some advice for anybody who goes, "Why don't the Muslims do anything about the Muslim attack?" Got a great example of Muslims doing something about the Muslim attacks in Great Britain. So fuck off, redneck. Hi. That was just for my family. No, I just kidding. I'm not. we talked a little off mic about stuff we don't want on the show. But Jason, how was your week? How you been, buddy?
Life has issues, right? That's just the way life is. But I'm doing pretty gosh darn awesome, you know? The kid's doing great. She's talking up a storm. She's just like, "Gaga, ba, da, da," like, mm-hmm. all the time. So I'm learning really well with her also because I repeat.
Oh, wow.
I mimic with her. she may have said dada.
Maybe.
But it was like, da, 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 ba, ga. So it wasn't like, you know,
sure.
Look, you know, hold me, dada.
And she's three now, right?
And then what did we do this weekend?
Black Book Fair.
We went to the Black Book Fair.
You did?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Saw Kareem. Got some shaved ice. And what else did we do? Just hung out at the house. Spent the day with my mom on Saturday again. You know, she came over. She did not want to go to the Black Book Fair. She just wanted to stick around the house.
Never know.
It's her freedom. It's her.
Sure.
It's her place away from rehab.
Fair
enough, right?
Yeah, and I assume she's doing well because she's out and hanging out with you guys a little bit.
Yeah, she's doing the best I've seen her do in 20 years.
That is awesome news.
Yeah,
that is awesome news. I'm sure CJ is a bit of a motivation too.
Oh, yeah.
Straighten up and fly right or you don't see the baby.
You better do it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to say that. I mean, I'm sure that's understood.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope it's understood. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. So, yeah. Thing is, so it was a great weekend.
Cool.
How about you?
I went to, we actually had a reunion of my wedding party, which really isn't hard since two of the people in my wedding party are married to each other. So, drove down to Salinas, and my other friend drove up from San Luis Obispo. And we went to an Oakland A's game on Saturday.
That's pretty awesome.
Had very good seats, three rows from the field.
Awesome.
So it was a, and I'm not an A's fan, but you know, when the home team wins, no matter where you go, it's a good time. And I'm not a fan of the team they were playing, so I was fine with them winning. So it was a fun thing. We got a Chris Davis bobblehead, which I had promised that if I got one, I would pass it along to one of my coworkers, and he was very stoked to get that, so that was nice. My friend's wife, Amy, who is in our in the wedding party, has a new nickname. It's Amy WK, because party. She had a lot of beer. We had picked up some food at the Whole Foods and had a couple beers in the parking lot at the Coliseum before the game. And she had gotten some sort of pasta thing, like in those cardboard containers. And for some reason, she thought it would be a great idea to leave it in the car and finish it up later.
That sounds like a horrible idea.
I think it was. She was not well later, and I don't believe it was any of the imbibing that she did, because her symptoms were not like that. So they had bought a cooler bag, mm-hmm. and so we got some beer and a cooler bag. Well, there was no ice in the cooler bag, and it's in a car.
So it's just going to get heated.
In a parking lot. So she ate about half of her pasta, and she put it back in this cooler bag. And we go into the game, and like 3 hours later, we come back out, and her husband, my best man, had left something behind at the seat because he's a forgetful sort. And then he left the Coliseum and went the wrong way. And we had to wait. We were waiting for him for well over a half an hour, because when I called him, I said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I'm in the C lot." And I said, "We are in the A lot. You're on the wrong side of the stadium."
Oh, man.
Meanwhile, she's eating away on the pasta going, "Would you like some pasta? Would you like some pasta?" I go, "No, that's been in the hot car." She's like, "It's a little spicy." I'm like, that's not what I mean. That is not what I mean.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry for her butt.
So we made it back to Salinas, and then the next morning we all got up. All the guys got up, and we went out to brunch at, I think it's called New Awakenings. It's a nice little place in downtown Salinas. And it was one of those things, you know, you go for brunch and like, "Oh, it's going to be a 30-minute wait." And Hootie goes, "Hey, do you want to go down and get some coffee rather than the free shit coffee that they give you out front?"
Yeah, you might as well.
And we're like, "Yeah." So we walk down, and it's like three blocks down to this coffee shop. And in the coffee shop, it's one of those places where they've got this big, they've got a sheet of paper up, white sheet of paper with the black block lettering on it. And it's this long letter explaining that because of the ever rising cost of materials and the increasing minimum wage, that they're going to have to raise the price of coffee.
Oh, wow.
Starting on June 12th.
Okay.
To it. And I was like, "Well, that means you pay your people minimum wage."
Yeah.
Or just slightly above it, which is fine. I didn't need an explanation as to why your $4.50 cup of coffee is going to be more.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. If I go back on the 12th, is it going to be $7? Then maybe you did need that explanation.
Yeah.
But just raise the price. And if people ask, then put up your sign.
Yeah.
We gotta pay these greedy sons of bitches living wage.
Wait 10 messages before you put it up. You know, right? You get like 10 requests. Like, have it and give it to the person if they request it. But you know, after the fifth one, you can put it up. You know,
yeah. Why'd you raise your prices on everything? Or put it on your Facebook post.
Yeah.
Go, "Hey, as of June 12th, our prices are going to go up because of rising costs of doing business."
Or don't do it. I mean, like,
Don't say anything.
Just like don't give a. You know, the only reason people make statements like that, he's making a political statement with...
Or she.
They, excuse me, let me use the proper pronoun. They, you know, are making a political statement.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
With that, I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is, but here's the best part. On our way back down, so there's a lot of one-way streets in downtown Salinas, and these two cars are coming toward each other, and one turns right, and the other one... is going straight through. And the car going straight through lays on the horn, and I'm like half paying attention. I'm like, what's going on? And I see across the street, there's this old lady. She's probably, I would put her somewhere in her early to mid 60s. She's got a bit of a hunchback and a walker. And I hear her yell, and her voice echoes down the empty street. Wrong way, asshole! And sure enough, that car had turned the wrong way down a one-way street. Wrong way, asshole!
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That's a great Sunday morning, by the way.
It sounds pretty great. So is Salinas idyllic? It sounds like it would be like, you know, like...
No.
Be like
no, there's a lot gang problems there.
Really?
That part of downtown Salinas, they've revitalized quite a bit. They've got the Steinbeck Center right there.
Yeah.
They've revamped a theater. They've got some like little quaint restaurants, but Salinas itself is bordered by all the fruits, veggies, and berries that you eat are grown all around Salinas and picked by people that Donald Trump wants thrown out of the country.
Right.
So you've got a lot of poor people.
Right.
And there is an issue with gang violence and other stuff there.
And the guy selling coffee is wondering why he has to raise prices.
No, no.
When they make a political statement like that,
minimum wage.
Yeah.
So, when you go to the mall in Salinas, there will be several. There will be several woven white cowboy hats. Is what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it.
That's Salinas. It's not. It's so far from when you think Monterey and Carmel and that whole by the sea crowd. It might as well be on the other side of the fucking world, and it's like a 25-minute drive.
Yeah.
From these multi-million-dollar homes overlooking the sea.
Yeah.
But wrong way, asshole!
Wrong way, asshole!
Hey, good news. It's official. The president's tweets are White House statements. It was confirmed by Sean Spicer.
Considered official White House statements?
Well, the president is the president of the United States, so they're considered official statements by the president of the United States.
If I can follow up on that question, is President Trump at all concerned that his tweets could be used against him at the level of the Supreme Court when the ACLU takes on this travel ban case?
Well, I think we've made it clear with respect to that that the court should follow the law.
The court will follow the law. The problem is the administration really hasn't been.
Yeah.
But in other news, so Thursday, tomorrow, James Comey is testifying before Congress, the fired FBI director. Also in England, they're having an election, too. So it's a big day on Thursday. And apparently President Trump is maybe live tweeting during Comey's testimony. The president of the United States is possibly live tweeting something. In some legal circles, that could be characterized as attempted witness intimidation in real time.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. I can't believe you would. If he makes any type of statement during that period of time, like that is that's. That's ridiculous.
Well, that's him. That's what he does.
Oh, man.
That's what he does. Speaking of ridiculousness, Kathy Griffin had a little bit of an issue.
Oh, man.
She, for some reason, thought it would be a good idea, funny idea. I don't know. She came out later to try to explain what her idea was, but no one was listening at that point because if you missed it, if you were in a hole, she released some photos and some video of her holding up a mannequin head that looked a little like Donald Trump, but with fake blood on it. So it looked like she was holding up a decapitated head. And of course, her hair at the time did not really do her any favors in that regard either.
Right.
She looked like one of the women in A Handmaid's Tale had turned the tables.
Yeah.
So reaction was swift on Twitter, as it always is. And shortly thereafter, she apologized.
I sincerely apologize. I am just now seeing the reaction of these images. I'm a comic. I cross the line. I move the line. Then I cross it. I went way too far. The image is too disturbing. I understand how it offends people. It wasn't funny. I get it. I've made a lot of mistakes in my career. I will continue. I asked your forgiveness, taking down the image, going to ask the photographer to take down the image, and I beg for your forgiveness. I went too far. I made a mistake, and I was wrong.
Was she wrong to apologize? Man. That's the real question. Because before you answer, she was fired by CNN from her gig co-hosting the New Year's Eve thing with Anderson Cooper, which did not surprise me.
Right.
That was not surprising at all. She had a bunch of gigs scheduled around the country, including one here in the Sacramento area in Grass Valley that was canceled. So she's had basically her entire tour has been canceled. So I'm not surprised by any of this. Was it a mistake to apologize?
I think that I'm not her, so I can't.
I'm not asking if it was the right thing. In terms of being like morally, was it morally the right thing to do? If did Kathy Griffin make a mistake in coming out and apologizing the way that she did? I mean, she came out and she's obviously very contrite about it. There were rumors out there that Barron Trump, who's 11, saw the images, thought it was actually his father and got very upset. I assume only because his father lives in a different state. And he never sees him, so yeah. That would be how you would make that mistake. Either that or Barron has other issues, because right. That did not look at all like a head.
Did not.
It, at all.
And who showed it to him?
Well, listen.
Yeah, I guess if you're just watching TV.
He's 11.
Yeah.
He's on the internet. There's TV.
Yeah.
It's not hard to come across something
you're
like
right,
that.
You're right.
I didn't go looking for it, and it popped into my head.
Yeah, I saw it too. I know that if it was me, the only reason I would apologize is if for some reason I felt that my life or my family's life was threatened.
And I think that was probably part of the issue.
That's the only reason I would apologize for making a joke. Like, you know, I mean, like, you got, if you're going to make a joke, you make a joke. And you can say maybe that was too far, or you stand by your shit, and that's what you're supposed to do. You know, I don't know. But if you, and I can see how you can worry about your life after posting an image like that. I mean, like, it's stupid, you know. And the thing that's crazy is like getting into arguments with people about it. Like, you know, like people that think that it was, yeah, of course it was wrong, but that's her freedom to do that. And she is going to suffer the repercussions from it.
Exactly.
Like, so that's what happens with free speech, bro. Like, you go too far and you get smacked down. That's why, you know, there's some semblance of understanding why people should be given the floor to talk, so they can, everybody knows that that's a fucker. You know, that guy's an asshole. Or that person's an asshole.
Well, she got a call from the Secret Service.
I'm sure.
as did Ted Nugent when he made some shitty comment right. about Obama, which that's just a matter of course. Yep. But then I think she made it worse later on in the week. When she showed up and held a press conference with her lawyer, and I was like, what are you doing?
Tonight, President Trump is trying to ruin her because of a controversial picture that shows her holding a bloody likeness of his head.
And CBS 2's Randy Page is live at her attorney's office in Woodland Hills, where she was both contrite and defiant today. Randy?
That's right. You know, Rick, first she offered her apologies, but today she came out swinging.
I'm not afraid of Donald Trump. He's a bully.
Kathy Griffin says she came up with the idea of this controversial photo, which we've altered, after hearing Donald Trump talking about Megyn Kelly during the presidential debate she moderated back in August of 2015.
You could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
I thought of that, you know, blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of forever. And then I thought, well, let's make this really obvious that I'm really making an absurdist, artsy, statementy thing. Just give him something to talk about. I'm 56 years old. I'm 110 pounds wet. I've had everybody turn on.
I don't care how turned on she is. I don't know where that came from.
And I just want to make people laugh. That's all I want to do. So I screwed up.
There was fear.
The death threats that I'm getting are constant, and they are detailed, and they are serious, and they are specific.
Defeat.
I don't think I will have a career after this. I'm going to be honest. He broke me. And then I was like, no, this isn't right. It's just not right. And I apologize because that was the right thing to do and I meant it.
The fighting spirit her fans appreciate.
I only know how to do comedy one way. It's in-your-face comedy. I keep it real. I'm going to make fun of the president. And you know what? I'm going to make fun of him more now.
When keeping it real goes wrong.
As I say, Dave Chappelle already did this joke.
It really is. So I don't really even know what to make of it anymore. I don't.
Listen, this is the way I look. It's Kathy Griffin. This is everything she wanted. This is like the type of like, this is her.
When was the last time anybody talked about Kathy Griffin?
Like, except for like, you know, in passing on New Year's. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, that's like.
Why does she keep grinding on that gay man?
Yeah, it's the way. She's a comic. She's a comic that is a habitual line stepper. If you know that, if you can establish what the fact is, it's very easy to make a judgment of on that fact. And the fact is, her whole career, she's always been an edgy, ridiculous person that you can't take fucking seriously, ever.
Right, but most of the people who are followers of Donald Trump...
Yeah, they don't care.
have no idea who the fuck this lady is, let alone what her career path is or what her intention might have been. All they know... And let's be honest. If Ted Nugent held up a disembodied Obama head,
I would
you would have lost your shit.
Now
you would not have made a death threat against anybody because that's not in your nature. But there are people who would have.
Right. That's why I think it's horrible. I don't find it funny, and I think it's ridiculous. And I would. You know, but like you said, there's other people.
And by the way, you're referencing something from 2015.
Yeah.
Where the fuck have you been hibernating?
There's so many other things.
Have you fucking been hibernating? Have you missed the 80,000 other things he's given you to shit on him for?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. So, but.
Come on. So someone smarter than her has stepped in. Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings. saw the whole thing happen and making a reference to Barron Trump seeing it and being disturbed, allegedly. I think that's something that they were probably playing up much larger than it was.
Right.
Ken Jennings tweeted, Barron Trump saw a very long necktie on a heap of expired deli meat in a dumpster. He thought it was his dad and his little heart is breaking.
Just because you're smart doesn't mean you're a comedian.
Dude, that is funny. I don't care who you... So somebody replied, Ken Jennings, no, please don't. He's a child. To which Ken Jennings said, nope, I'm going to keep going. He replied, I've moved the necktie to one side of the ham, but it still looks a little like the president. Frowny face.
Did he tweet pictures with it?
No.
Oh.
No. Then someone went, I'll take people who never learn for 500, Alex. To which he replied, Frank, Jeopardy hasn't had a $500 clue since doubling the dollar values in 2001. Please update the 15-year-old references in your hacky jokes.
All right, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So then this guy, Frank, comes back and said, I'll update my jokes if you stop making them about the president's son being sad he thought he saw his dead father. And then Ken Jennings replied, you should really do it anyways, just on principle. So Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings decided he'd just waste the day fucking off trolling people on Twitter is basically what happened.
That's cool. Good for him.
You know, it's one of the things. Somebody then came up and was like, I can't believe anyone as intelligent as you doesn't see the problem with mocking a child, any child in this way. And then he replied, the joke doesn't mock Barron. It mocks using him for political cover and specifically this amazing tweet, which he highlights. TMZ reports, and by the way, TMZ, fuck off on this. Barron Trump was watching TV and saw Kathy Griffin holding a severed head. He thought it was his dad. His heart is broken. I think his heart will go on. Yeah. And then Donald Trump Jr. weighed in because he doesn't have anything else to do. He said, it takes a real man to pick on an 11-year-old. Yet another low from the left. But they will rationalize this away with their usual excuses. And Ken Jennings replied to Donald Trump Jr., I will kill as many white rhinos as it takes to prove my masculinity to Donald Trump Jr. So,
yeah.
Don't fuck with smart people,
especially
you
on
idiots.
Especially on something that's like made for like, it's really, if you're really smart, Twitter's your game.
Right, or if you're really dumb.
Yeah, right.
Or if you're really dumb. Right in the middle, like most of us, not really our game. Yeah. It just isn't.
Yeah, especially if we're going up against the man who's won more money than anyone else on Jeopardy.
Why does Donald Trump Jr. think he can engage in a battle of wits?
Because his dad paid for his education, and, you know, he thinks that that's...
All right, well, enough of that nonsense. There's a naked yoga enthusiast on the loose in Colorado. And it's not a lady. Around 6:45 a.m. on a Saturday, Aurora police received a 911 call about a, quote, naked man doing yoga, unquote, in public. But an officer dispatched to the crime scene reported that, and I quote again, I was unable to locate anyone in the area, clothed or otherwise. The patrolman, however, did locate a pile of abandoned clothing outside a nearby business. What did he find? Well, it's clothes. So he found pants, shirts, socks, underwear, and a pair of Nikes. He collected those things and tagged them as evidence, because what else would you do? The incident is classified as indecent exposure, occurred adjacent to a strip mall. Ah. Get it? A strip mall.
A strip mall.
So if you're up early in Colorado, be on the lookout for a nude dude doing some downward dog. or don't be, whatever. That's,
yeah.
Or if you're in Colorado, sleep in.
Sleep in.
Alrighty. This will be a quick round of Cooler Tool since it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
All right, first up in Cooler Tool, Kathy Griffin. Jason.
Tool.
Yeah. Yeah. But.
Yeah, but not necessarily for this.
Oh, no, in general. In general, but I don't know what she was hoping to accomplish with any of this.
She's a definite tool because of this.
Indeed. Up next in Cooler Tool, Ken Jennings.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. I'm gonna, because he, as you correctly pointed out, he wasn't making fun of Barron.
Yeah.
I also do not buy that bullshit that Barron saw it and went, oh my God, that's my dad. He might have looked at it in passing going, oh my God, is that my dad? And then went, oh no, it's not.
Right. Or like, mom. Oh wait, no, the maid has to call mom.
Sure.
Nanny.
Was dad going to the golf course today? Of course he was. It's the weekend, Barron. And finally in Cooler Tool, yoga. Yoga.
Yoga is cool.
Yoga begets yoga pants. Yoga is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That was quick.
It is. Well, we don't have Kareem to go,
I'm going to say cool on that.
Yeah, there you go. we make fun of you when you don't show up.
I know.
He's not getting off.
Just well, maybe he is.
Maybe. He's not
the
getting
toilet.
Off the toilet. That's what he's doing. Hey, you know what? If you're stuck on the toilet, how do you get the stuff you need? Well, pick up your phone. Go to Amazon.com through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Order some toilet paper delivered right to your home.
Yeah,
maybe some moist wipes because your butthole is sensitive now.
Right. Get the flushable ones, though.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Make sure they're flushable.
Well, you know what else you could do if you really wanted to upgrade? Get yourself one of those bidets that you can attach onto your toilet. So instead of just sandpapering your a-hole down every time you have an issue, you're just hosing it off with a gentle stream of water.
I was looking at $984 bidet that you can add to your toilet.
I was looking at a $76 bidet you can add to your toilet. There's a range, my friend.
There's a $76 one?
There sure is. You can do it for under $100.
Chris, I hope you're not listening. Birthday present.
All of those things and more. Only a click away at the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. And we do appreciate it. So thank you so much in advance. I just happened to glance over to see if we were actually recording.
And we are.
I probably should have done that a while ago.
I saw. Yeah, I would have said.
It's really funny because one of the meters where we record isn't actually moving.
Is it mine?
No. Oh, okay. No. It's just one that would be like a peaking meter that would be like, oh, hey, normally they bounce up and down a little bit when you talk. It's just sitting there solid in one spot.
Oh, shit.
Not doing it. Yeah, we're fine. We're fine. It's all good. It was a good week for Russia because it's always a good week for Russia. Hold on. We notice you're blocking ads. Yes, I am blocking ads. You know why? Because it's 2017. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Of course you're blocking it. All right, I'm going to have to unblock this page for real quick.
Uh-oh. That's how they get you.
It is.
You're going to have...
You know what I'm going to do? Don't run on this page. There you go. Feel better now, Washington Post? There you go. The Trump administration has moved to return Russian compounds in Maryland and New York. And you go, what's the big deal? Well, those compounds were taken back in December as punishment for Moscow's interference in the presidential election. President Obama said on December 29th the compounds were being used by Russian personnel for intelligence-related purposes and gave Russia 24 hours to vacate them. Separately, he expelled from the U.S. what he said were 35 Russian intelligence operatives. Now, in early May, the Trump administration told the Russians that it would consider turning the properties back over to them if Moscow would lift its freeze imposed in 2014 in retaliation for U.S. sanctions related to the Ukraine on construction of a new U.S. consulate on a certain parcel of land in St. Petersburg. 2 days later, the U.S. position changed, and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson told the foreign minister and Russian ambassador in a meeting that the United States had dropped any linkage between the compounds and the consulate. That's according to several people with knowledge of the exchanges. So we're just going to go ahead and give shit back. This is the strong negotiator that campaign that's going to negotiate all these great deals. And I'm not supposed to believe that there's some sort of complicit agreement going on between the Trump White House, or at the very least Donald Trump and his inner operatives and the Russian government, when you're just going to randomly drop it and go, no, nothing, no tie to it. Nope, no condition. We're ready to just give it on back to you. Give it on back, buddy.
Man.
First of all, even if there is nothing nefarious about this, and I'm sure there is, but even if there wasn't, it looks fucking horrible.
Yeah.
It looks fucking horrible.
Like, first of all, we don't just deport, we didn't used to just, deport 35 people as agents of another country.
We did. That was a pretty common thing to do because everybody would try and have spies here and disguise them as diplomats. And then we'd get information that they're not really diplomats. They're actually spies. And then we would go, y'all need to go. Right. And they would leave and then there'd be a different crop.
There has to be cause and reason for them to do that.
Sure.
They can't just do it. You know, I mean, in case they are, you know, they are there legally, there's due process. I guess what I'm saying is...
I don't think they're... I think you can actually just go, no, we think you're a spy, get out.
Oh, cool.
Because they're not... They're here as diplomats.
Right, yeah.
So they can't arrest them, but they can tell them that you have to leave here.
You gotta get the F out of here.
You gotta get out. It's just really...
Get out.
It's like every other day there's something like that.
Yeah.
That pops up.
Yeah. But, you know, it's because we're reading... You know, liberal left, libtard. You know, we read libtard news media.
Yes, know? Yes. So. I'm not a Breitbart reader, unlike the president, who, by the way, started out on D-Day tweeting about how the media wasn't fair to him. He did not send out a tweet. Now, I know this is a very weird bar to have, but this is how he chooses to communicate. And I saw it pointed out, let's compare how Justin Trudeau tweeted about D-Day as compared to Donald Trump. Well, Justin Trudeau at 9 a.m. when he went into the office or whatever, the first thing he did was tweet something very heartfelt and appropriate about D-Day. Donald Trump was busy bitching about the mainstream media and about how he would never have won the election if it were up to the mainstream media. Well, no, because the media doesn't have anything to do with you winning or losing the election, you boob. It wasn't until 11 a.m.
Not until 11 a.m.
that he... wait a minute. I have my math wrong. I have my math wrong. I'm sorry. It was almost 5 p.m. when he tweeted... Let me just double check this right now.
Let's do it, yeah.
For clarification. I want to be fair. I want to be fair because the President of the United States did, in fact, tweet something about D-Day.
After somebody probably pointed out to him that, hey, DB, you need to... You should say something about D-Day.
Yeah, let's see. It was 9 hours ago. It's 8 o'clock, so that would be 11 a.m. our time. So 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Two in the afternoon. He posted a photo that said, "Remembering D-Day, June 6, 1944. Today we remember the courage and bravery of our troops that stormed the beaches of Normandy 73 years ago. Hashtag D-Day, hashtag heroes." Wow. So heartfelt. the previous tweets. He also spent the morning basically making accusations against one of our allies in the Middle East, where there's a base with 10,000 troops. At the same time that Justin Trudeau was tweeting about D-Day, he was tweeting, "Sorry, folks, but if I would have relied on the fake news of CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Wash Post, or NY Times, I would have had zero chance of winning WH. WTF, dude.
WTF for sure.
On D-Day, he is It's all about him. Seriously, he is more selfish than your baby. And babies have a reason to be selfish because they don't know any better.
Right.
They do not know any better.
Yeah. I just don't, it's so ridiculous. And there's people that still
vehemently defend him.
Like you said about the whole Kathy Griffin thing, if it had been Ted Nugent and Obama, I would have been pissed.
Yeah.
I would have been super pissed, and I would have been very vocal about it. Like, that guy needs to go down, you know.
Imagine if Obama did not acknowledge D-Day until 2 p.m.
Oh, every single one of, not, yes, exactly. That's the thing, is it it's just so ridiculous. There's no words for it. I can't even say anything because it's so ridiculous. It's also it's surreal. It's ridiculous. It's
Well, and over the weekend there was a terror attack in London.
Yeah.
And he took that opportunity to attack the mayor of London.
Yeah.
Imagine, if you will. If another foreign leader would have spent September 11th or September 12th, 2001, attacking Rudy Giuliani.
Exactly. There would have been outrage.
And rightfully so. And there is around the world.
Right.
What's really funny is as much as he bitches and moans and bitches and moans and bitches and moans about CNN, NBC, all of the actual media outlets, as much as he bitches about them, they underreport so much of the international disdain and distrust of Donald Trump. They simply don't report it, or it's incredibly underreported.
It is. It's incredibly.
In fact, when he went to the Middle East, he was like, "CNN International was way meaner than CNN." Well, yeah. Dick.
Yeah,
because no one in the other countries who are watching CNN International is voting for your ass. So you don't have to worry about that. Anyway, speaking of the London attacks, in the UK, more than 130 imams refused to conduct funerals for what they call the vile London attackers. So the next time you have somebody go, what about them Muslims? Why won't they condemn? How's that? 130 imams and other religious leaders across Britain have refused to perform traditional Islamic funerals for the three attackers who killed seven people and wounded dozens in London. Quote, their acts and willful dismissal of our religious principles alienates them from any association with our community, for whom the inviolability of every human life is the founding principle. That's the group statement released by the Muslim Council of Britain. Consequently, and in light of such other ethical principles, which are quintessential to Islam, we will not perform the traditional Islamic funeral prayer for the perpetrators. So, there. What more do you want? What more do you want? Also, that day, Trump was tweeting that we weren't talking about gun control.
Until he said something about it.
Well, because no one's talking about gun control because this time they use trucks and knives. They use trucks and knives because they can't get any fucking guns in Britain because they have tarred gun laws.
Yeah, can you imagine like if they all had AKs, how much more damage they would have been able to do?
One guy,
yeah,
with an AK would have killed scores more people,
yeah,
than were killed with this.
Yeah,
and like it or not, the lack of availability of guns means that if they're going to do something, it has to be something like this. And it's tragic, and it is incredibly unfortunate. But the death tolls are so much lower.
Yeah.
So much lower than they would have been. One dude and his wife at a fucking Christmas party in San Bernardino killed how many people?
Yeah. And it's really like, it's... They've always had strict gun law. Like they've had strict gun laws there for
quite some time.
I mean, when you read about the troubles, and when Ireland and you know, when the IRA was, you know, using terrorist tactics with the UK, if you want us to call it that,
they were planting bombs. So yes,
yeah, they were planting bombs. You know, so And having people detonate them, like they're the ones actually invented suicide bombing. They just held people's families ransom.
White people again, Jason. We are the innovators.
We started it.
We did start the fire.
Yeah. I'm just trying to. These death tolls have always been like this there, because when they do get guns and they have them, like they're usually found, or it's such a hassle to get them, like that they're hidden underground, and like they have 20 or 30 of them or 50 of them, but they're going to be used
the Manchester bombings, there were more people that were killed because it was a bomb,
yeah,
in a much more crowded space, right. and soft targets. But I was reading something earlier today that the actual number of people across Europe that are killed in terrorist attacks is actually much lower than it used to be.
Yeah.
Because it's in your face. It's in your, with satellite television and 24-hour media, as soon as something happens anywhere in the world, it's on your phone. There was an attack here, and now you instantly know about it. And it's right in the forefront of your mind. And in the 70s and 80s, there were way more.
Yeah.
There were a lot more, but there are people that want to have this idea that the world is less safe now. It's not less safe now. It's a different group of people that are attempting to hurt people for a different set of reasons, but that doesn't mean it's less safe.
Well, it's just like when people try to say there's more domestic violence now than there used to be. And it's like, it just people report it now.
Right. People report it. And there are places for people to go who are victims of domestic violence. Whereas before, they were like, I can't go anywhere. Maybe yeah. I can go back to my family, but what if he follows me?
Yeah. There's nothing. There was not really a whole lot you could do.
Exactly. And now there is. Yeah. And now we know about it.
Right. So, you know, don't just because there's a curve doesn't mean that there's more. It just could mean that there's new data.
It's true. So everybody just relax and take a little hint. Watch Last Week Tonight with John Oliver this past week.
Was it pretty great?
The first few minutes of it talk about the London terror attack, and from a much more British perspective. Although the guy he pointed out that was walking away holding a pint of beer, actually, I believe from Folsom. So before you take credit for all of the calmness in wanting to keep your beer, that was an American. And everybody just needs to relax.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Oh, it's been a busy week in Florida.
As always.
Mm-hmm. A T-Mobile employee is behind bars after allegedly emailing himself a sexually explicit video that he found on the phone of a female customer. That's according to cops. Apparently, the victim brought her phone to a T-Mobile store in Pinellas Park so a worker could, quote, reboot and reactivate the service on the phone. The employee who handled the woman's phone was Roberto Sanchez Ramos. The victim subsequently noticed that her email had been accessed and her sexually explicit video was sent to an email account that cops allege is Sanchez Ramos's.
No!
By the way, if you're going to do that, pro tip, go to the sent folder and delete that.
Might be a good idea. And then maybe...
Or don't do it.
And maybe have like an account that, you know, a Slough account, you know, a Slough email account that... I'm not trying to tell, you know, somebody how to do things. Like,
sure, yeah, but, sure. Yeah. Figure it out.
oh, man.
He was arrested on a felony offenses against users of electronic devices, held a $10,000 bond on that count. He's 25. He also faces a probation violation charge related to a prior T-Mobile-related felony conviction. Man, what do you have to do to get fired at T-Mobile?
Not commit a felony.
He pleaded guilty last year to a scheme to defraud charge related to attempts to artificially inflate his sales commission figures. He was sentenced to 18 months probation in order to reimburse T-Mobile $200.
Wow.
He also has a rap sheet that includes a 2013 grand theft case that was dismissed after he was placed in a pretrial intervention program for first-time offenders. It's unknown how the Clearwater resident was employed by T-Mobile after having been previously convicted of a work-related felony. That's one of those things that makes me go,
Yeah.
I wonder myself.
Then, man, like, the guy deserves what he gets. I'm not, yeah, I don't want anybody to think that. I thought that was a...
What does a motherfucker have to do to get fired from T-Mobile?
I don't know, man. Like I said, he's probably not... I mean, maybe this is it.
Maybe this is it. Well, with the bad, there's the good. Here's some good Florida news.
Ooh.
A visitor to a Florida beach captured footage of a man dragging a shark back out into the water after it apparently beached itself. Rebecca Lutan of Jacksonville said she was visiting Atlantic Beach with her children on Memorial Day when they spotted the shark stranded in the sand. Her Facebook video shows a man grabbing the shark by the tail and dragging it back out into deeper waters. It was about a 6-foot shark, I think. 5 or 6
Wow.
foot. It was unclear whether the shark was injured or sick, but lifeguards said a similarly sized shark was seen swimming in the area the following day. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission said the type of shark in the video is unclear, but it may have been a black tip shark, which is incredibly common in the area. So, there you go. We got some positive news out of Florida. It's not always bad stuff, Jason.
No, that's... You know,
like Aaron Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Why would you torture me with that, bro?
Well, you know, I wanted to go away from the standard Flo Rida when we run out of the original music. I'm just saying. I wanted to shake things up for the people.
Yeah, thanks.
Everything I do for the people. that's what I'm gonna say. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm gonna stick to it. So imagine your excitement. You've been accepted to Harvard. Congratulations.
Awesome.
But you're on Facebook too, and you're posting some stuff to some groups.
Oh man.
And then suddenly it gets out and you're not accepted to Harvard anymore.
The story saying that at least 10 members of the incoming freshman class had their admissions offers rescinded because of this what's labeled as obscene material posted online on social media networks. Now, we just within the last 5 minutes or so got a response from Harvard College. Spokesperson tells us that the college does not comment publicly on the admission status of individual applicants. Now,
We just got a comment saying they don't comment.
Now, there is a policy in place here at Harvard, outside of which we stand right now, that says, and people who apply are told this in the beginning here, if an admitted student engages or has engaged in behavior that brings into question their honesty, maturity, or moral character, that offer can be rescinded. That admissions offer can be rescinded. Now, as it stands, Harvard Crimson, the newspaper, reports that several members of the incoming freshman class engaged in a meme-sharing private Facebook chat group in which the memes had content including jokes about the deaths of infants, about the Holocaust, about sexual assault, and memes that had punchlines directed at specific racial or ethnic groups.
Those
so the university
times.
Gave these students an opportunity to explain their actions. In the end, and the report states that at least 10 individuals have their admissions offers rescinded. They will not be attending Harvard this fall or as undergraduates ever again. That is according to the Crimson. Harvard itself not commenting specifically on this report. That, again, the latest statement obtained about 5 minutes ago. For now, though, I'm reporting live in Cambridge. Michael Henrich, Boston 25 News.
So, not going to Harvard.
Not going to Harvard.
Good. How are things over at Harvard? Didn't go.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Didn't go.
Why? Because my freedom of speech was being trampled on.
It was a freedom. It was talking about it. What are you doing? That's what I'm talking about. Sadly, I don't have any of the jokes to share with you. I do have some reaction from people.
Oh, yeah.
Erica Goldberg. Oh, hold on.
Those were very bad times.
An assistant professor at Ohio Northern Law School who calls herself a free speech enthusiast, but I don't believe agrees with that, wrote in a blog post that by ferreting out the members of the private chat group revoking their acceptances, that Harvard has proven there is an oppressive force to transgress. Goldberg, who said she taught at Harvard Law School for 3 years, compared the dark humor used by Harvard students to the popular unabashedly irreverent game Cards Against Humanity, whose purpose is to be cleverly offensive as possible.
What?
Saying, even many good liberals love the game precisely because the humor is so wrong, so contrary to our values. So she called on Harvard to reconsider its decision.
Hmm.
So, yeah, look, I understand that threatening people is not okay. I think we all understand
that.
I think we're all down with that. But have we reached a point where people can't joke about things? And is that okay? And I understand there's consequences to your free speech. But if you're part of a private group, and you're just fucking around. Being a part of a private group for most people feels like you and I sitting in your living room just shooting the shit or whatever.
Right.
And is what we say, and if we don't have the mics on, we might say something even more crazily inappropriate than we do here with the mics on.
Right.
Should we be judged for that? Is that now not okay? Has the thought police reached a point where they're going to come in and go, you're a bad person and we're going to take away from you now?
I think it would be one thing if it was the United States government saying it, and a different thing when it's an institution that prides
sure.
itself on a certain moral up, you know, code and things of that nature.
Well,
Harvard had, I guarantee you that Harvard has a set of rules or honor code or something
sure.
of that nature. And who knows how many people really abide by it.
None.
But, right. But it
I
is,
do. None.
But that is their right as a private institution that is, you know.
Oh, of course. But that's not my question.
Yeah.
My question is, have we gotten to the point where this is ridiculous? What if it were UC Berkeley? That's a government institution.
Right.
Would you do? Why are those two things held to a different standard? And I understand the idea of the government suppressing speech as part of the First Amendment.
Right, because I could see UC Berkeley possibly doing that to students also. You know, if they if somebody found out about it, but I think they might also, I think it is. I think we've gotten to a point where things are so polarized at this time that it's very difficult to joke about a lot of things because so many people's meters already like at the extreme level in the first place. So they're just looking and ready to find something wrong with whatever you're saying or whatever you're making a joke about. You know, so, but also, I mean, like, you got to know that, like, anything you do online, anything that you just like, it's just one of those things that you have to think about.
Anything you do anywhere, people are watching you.
like
it's
just,
not just God anymore.
I get worried. Like, I was having a conversation the other day at my house, and I have a Google Home, and I have an Xbox Kinect.
Sure.
You know? So, like, I have the Kinect, and I have the, and they both are listening at all times,
mm-hmm.
you know? So when I'm having a conversation about the president or something of that nature,
sure,
like, I, you know, my information is being saved possibly in a database somewhere.
Oh, speaking of which, do you think anybody has the guts to go out for Halloween as Kathy Griffin with Donald Trump's severed head?
That's a good question.
Ladies, start working on that Halloween costume now. You could be sexy Kathy Griffin holding a disembodied head if you wanted. I mean,
I was thinking when you were going to say that, I didn't think you were going to say Kathy Griffin. I thought you were going to say, like, I wonder if anybody has the balls to go as a Google Home. And that's what you're going to say.
Just listen in. That would be the lamest costume ever.
I don't know why you have the balls to do that.
I'm gonna go as an Alexa machine. I'm gonna go as an Amazon Echo. I'm just gonna wear like a big black tube and stand there and wait for somebody to say a keyword, and then I'm gonna spout like I don't know.
I know, bro.
I don't have any access to calendar apps. By the way, my Amazon Echo, because the keyword is Alexa. I'm watching Monday Night Raw last night, and one of the women's superstars is named Alexa Bliss. And I shit you not, 10 times during Monday Night Raw, that fucking machine responded to somebody saying that woman's name in the other room. It was never anything useful, but it was always like, I can't find anything about that.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's everywhere. I don't know. I really wish we could not be so overly sensitive about literally everything.
It's hard. I just think I was listening to a podcast where they're talking to, I think it's Leah Stahl. She's on 60 Minutes, right? Is she one of the
Leslie Stahl?
Yeah. She's on. Yeah. So she was talking though about like how polarized the country was during what was going on with Nixon. And like what was happening then,
sure.
Comparatively, because like that's like what one of the questions was, like,
right?
And she was like, no, it was worse then. People like to think that, like, you know, things are like really horribly bad right now.
This isn't new.
But here's
the thing about when Nixon was in office, the economy was really shitty then too.
Yeah, yeah.
So people were scraping by.
Yeah.
So they were angrier.
Yeah.
If you got a little money to rub together, it dulls the sting. Oh, also, if you're not being called on to go die for your country, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Those two things will really cut down on it.
Yeah. So it was neat to hear, like, it's just kind of like, you know, counterpoint to what Katie Couric had said,
sure.
You know, a few months ago also, you know.
Well, Katie Couric's not old enough to have that perspective.
Right.
Because Katie Couric was, I mean...
80s, right? Late 80s?
She, during the Nixon years, would have been... you know, 7-8 years old,
right.
maybe
right.
She's a little older than I am. So she wouldn't have been more than 10.
Right.
She
wouldn't have been working at the White House.
No.
As a correspondent.
I mean, when I was 10, I remember Reagan getting shot and I remember a lot of the stuff that went on with that. But I mean, not the same. You don't have any sort of realistic thing. Leslie Stahl is older. She was an adult when this happened. So
right.
She has an actual frame of reference.
Yeah. So But she said that there are similarities, you know, and like she, there's one that she's talking about is on Nixon, was really anti, media.
Oh yeah.
And how like the press secretary, like same type of thing, you know, like, you know, the vice president was going around talking, you know, talking a bunch of shit about the media, you know, so.
Well, we haven't heard a lot about the vice president,
yeah,
which is weird because he's not known to be the greatest guy in LGBT circles. I had a really good lesson for me. I like Adam Carolla a lot.
Yeah.
And I sort of stopped listening to Adam Carolla right around the election, and there were a lot of reasons for it. The wedding was coming up, wedding, honeymoon, et cetera, et cetera.
And it's like a two-hour
he
show.
Does, yeah, and he does five shows a week, and it's almost 2 hours every time, and on and on and on. And I'm like, you know, he says some things I don't necessarily want to hear, so I'm not going to listen. And this past week, I sort of caught up on all of my podcasts, and I haven't unsubscribed, so I still have shows. So I'm like, you know what? I'll pop back in and listen. And I know that he's doing a crowdfunding thing because he and Dennis Prager are doing a
No Safe Spaces.
No Safe Spaces film about college campuses. And I stopped and I listened to what he was saying, and he had Prager in, and I stopped and I listened to what Prager was saying. And while I disagree with a lot of what Prager is saying, and I agree with more stuff than I thought that I would with that Carolla was saying, I found myself realizing that it was an incredible mistake to not listen to those voices at all and not listen to why they felt the way they felt, because I disagree with Prager and what he's saying and a lot of the reasons, but Gina Grad and Bald Brian, who are the co-hosts, sidekicks, news girl, sidekick, sound effects guy, asked him, why do you feel that way about this? What is this about this? And he listened to what they said and he explained why he felt that way. And they had an intellectual back and forth about what led them to that conclusion and why he felt a certain way. And I think we've gotten to the point where nobody wants to hear, because there's a lot of just yelling.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to really hear why somebody feels the way they do. I have, and I've seen on Facebook, some of my friends go, to my friends who are Trump supporters, please explain to me why. What is it about Donald Trump that you are excited about? Why are you supporting him? What about him makes you go, yes, this is the person I want to lead the country and represent me? And he didn't have a lot of luck getting reasoned responses
right. From
either side of right. The spectrum. And I think we've really just gotten to the point where no one wants to hear it. And Guilty. Yeah. I did not want to hear it. On the other side, I'm glad I did. And I've always been someone who will periodically flip on Rush Limbaugh and go, all right, let's hear what he's got to say about something. And is there a point to it? And there used to be a time when you could turn on Rush Limbaugh and there would be reasoned arguments about certain things, that this is bad because of this, this is good because of this. Those days are gone. Those days are gone because everybody, except for me apparently, is playing to the extremes. Everybody is playing to the polls. Everybody is playing to either Donald Trump is the greatest thing ever, and look at all the stuff he's doing. He's not really, but look at all the stuff he's doing. And then you've got the other side that is like, oh my God, he's the worst thing ever, and nuclear annihilation, and so on and so forth. Now, where we are on the spectrum of that being the right answer to the question is irrelevant. The fact is, most of the people don't exist on those extremes, but that's who's getting catered to, and that's what a lot of the yelling is on social media.
Yeah.
And it's just really unfortunate that no one wants to hear or have that conversation about why do you feel the way you feel and actually have that intellectual conversation. And that requires the patience for me to go, Jason, why do you feel a certain way about something? To then sit back and take it in and let you speak and not go, oh my God, what a fucking moron. How can you possibly feel that way?
Yeah, it's funny because this is a lesson that I learned and I try to practice and it's so hard. There's a girl that I dated and it's probably the before Chris, the woman that I loved like the most.
Sure.
And she taught me a lot.
You know, I couldn't let that go.
No, yeah, yeah. You know, she broke up with me and I was heartbroken. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that she said to me at the beginning, like, of our relationship was something along the lines of, you know, don't try so hard.
Sure.
But also, you know, ask people about themselves and listen to what they have to say. You know, like, is it not, I don't know if she was saying that I was horrible at that, but that was something that was like, that she had said to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite like that and as direct as that, but I think that's what I got from it. And I try to check myself, you know, in almost any situation, you know, but it's tough sometimes, you know,
yeah.
Cause you have to confront it, you know, and think about it before you, and sometimes your mouth works way faster than remembering something like that.
Well, I think we've also gotten to the point where a lot of us, and I'm guilty of this as well, and I try not to be, but I am, where you're having a disagreement about something. And because it's about something that you have a passionate feeling about,
yeah,
it then becomes, for you, a personal attack on you and your character. If I say, I don't believe people should be given welfare. And somebody hears it from the other side, and I can see it in your face. Yeah. You're like, oh, that's ridiculous.
Right.
He's saying people don't deserve welfare. And I believe people deserve welfare. I believe people deserve blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly it becomes this attack on you.
Right. Yeah.
When it's not,
yeah.
And I may have a very reasoned idea of why I believe welfare is a bad thing, or at least welfare is a bad thing as it exists today.
Man, it's crazy that we're talking. I mean, Chris and I just had this. I had this big disagreement with my brother about politics, and Chris was so upset because she told me not to talk about politics with him, just talk about family stuff.
Sure,
you know, don't get into politics. And you know, and he dragged me in,
sure,
right? Because he made one comment at the very end of our conversation. Like, it was like the end of our conversation. He made a comment.
Yeah, he was going to get the last word.
Like, we had not said anything about politics,
and you couldn't let him have the last word.
I couldn't. And my response to her after everything was like, he started it. That was my first response.
Because you're five.
Right, exactly, exactly. And then the second thing, you know, was like, you know, I thought about, you know, because it was bothering me the rest of the night, you know, especially because I got off, I was upset with my brother. You know, I talked to him, everything's fine. Because yeah. He's my brother. I talked to him already today. And we were laughing. But you take it personally. Mm-hmm. And we cannot, that's absolutely the last and wrong thing you should do when you're trying to have a intelligent conversation, because feelings aren't intelligent, you know. That's why they're called feelings
and emotions. Feelings and emotions are not about that. And I believe it was, I might be wrong about this, but I believe it was Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill. Ronald Reagan, of course, very conservative. Mm-hmm. Not by today's definition, but by the definition of 1980, very conservative. Tip O'Neill, the Democratic Speaker of the House, very liberal. I believe the quote came from them. Reasonable people can disagree.
Yeah.
And I think the lesson is try to be reasonable people.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
You know, I say that, and then I go to Speak Out.
The bastion, the last bastion of reasonable people that's still right in to the newspaper.
Saying you hope for something is not anything more than a statement. Saying you hope for something is in no way a matter of a command. Democrats need to remember about Hillary Clinton's emails and the Fast and Furious of Eric Holder that were never prosecuted, which were fully prosecutable. As Hillary says, what difference does it make? Obviously, it makes some kind of difference when it comes to Trump. Right, snowflakes? You can't have it both ways. Trollalalalal. Trollalalalal.
Oh, man.
Hey, to the person who likes to go around saying, I will get mine, please know I forgive you and I hope you can forgive me for whatever I did to you. God has forgiven both me and you for our sins, and it's your duty to forgive others as well. I really hope people can see beyond other people's faults and quit being so rude and hateful toward them. Bob.
I don't know what I ever did to you. I think you're pretty oppressive for trying to push your Christianity on me, man.
Peaceful dialogue is at stake right about now. We have three superpower countries at some form of disagreement, and we have one country who's threatening our allies and could at any time lob off a nuclear missile and cause catastrophic damage to any one country or countries. And then we have Iran who's threatening to make use of WMD's nuclear missiles as well. I don't know that they are. One day it will finally happen. And the only thing left outside of another world war is praying for a peaceful resolution. It's all in God's hands from this point forward.
Hasn't it always been? If you believe in God, hasn't it always been in God's hands?
Well, then why are you even worrying about it?
Yeah,
why are we worrying about any of it? Why are you writing into the newspaper?
Why is it going to be in God's hands at that point? I guess that's a...
Let go and let God. With the recent incident that took place in Manchester, UK, one thing I have yet to hear people speak on or about is Sharia law and how they really feel. I'm hoping people will come together to educate the young people and adults about what this law actually means and what could happen should this law ever become law and who is behind it all. Many of our freedoms we have today could be lost. By the way, Sharia law is just religious law, so the next time you vote for somebody who's thumping a Bible, remember that.
Yeah.
Just my little tip for you. You were willing to take our daughter's money for a gift certificate, but when I tried to cash it in, you said, we no longer honor them, going out of business. This is why people window shop in your store and then go to Amazon. Goodbye. You won't be missed.
That is pretty horrible. That's pretty horrible to like not take the gifts to, like, if you would have been in California, they couldn't do that. Just saying.
Yeah. Liberal California would have had your back on that. And finally, last Plattsburgh City School Board election saw orange signs plastered on city lawns, even for some candidates running unopposed. This year's school budget vote saw very similar orange signs once again strategically placed in support of the budget. The signs of the work and paid for by the local teachers union. Those fuckers. I'm sorry, that's not in there. That's not in there. The demonstration against Elise Stefanik met at a local teachers union office. It seems the teachers union would like to control the school board with puppet members and control the budget process, which directly affects them. Now trying to control local politicians and protect their own self-interests. Those fucking teachers.
Yeah, I know, right? God damn it, teachers. Stop being so greedy. Stop dedicating your life to...
Fucking greedy teachers.
God damn it.
By the way, speak out so big. So big, I had to split it into two.
No.
I swear to God, the second half of Speak Out will be at the end of Friday's show.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, look at that. I go, I'm not going to have time for that.
What's going on in Plattsburgh.
Well, it's summertime.
It's like, it's just at that point. It's just like everybody's like woken up from their hibernation.
Man. The sun's up more than 6.5 hours a day.
Jim and Rob have been able to hang out at the local bowling green.
Everybody's cranky. Fucking teachers.
You know what? My kids have been out of school for the last 40 years now. I'm still paying taxes to that damn school.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch teachers. Those damn teachers.
Why are people so stupid? Fucking what? Teachers?
Yeah, stupid fucking people.
What are fucking teachers going to do their stuff?
Hey, dude, what them trying to get more people into the office to make laws so they can get, money for books and stuff, man. Make people stupid. Like, why wouldn't the teachers union try to get teachers and other people on the board? Like, they know what they need. Like, that is how it should work. Like,
No. We need business people to run, because look how well it's working for the country.
Oh, man.
By the way, this is my last little moment. Donald Trump, again, I think I've said this before, you wanted the country run like a business. He is. He's running it like his own personal business, and he's pocketing it. There is a fantastic piece in Forbes that just came out that talks about how he took his son Eric Trump's charity golf tournament and turned it into something that enriched his own cronies and the Trump organization. Eric Trump comes off as a sympathetic figure in this article. This is the type of businessman. And by the way, he's not known for his business philanthropy. He's known for his business lining his own pockets and taking shortcuts and not paying people. That's the business that's running our country.
Yeah.
And that's the fact, Jack.
I also read about the hotel chain that's going to open up. His sons are opening up a hotel chain called American Inn. Like, and they're opening them up in Missouri.
Six
of them. Because when they were going around the country with their dad, they saw what true American values were. So they wanted to offer something to the people.
All right. Well, that said, thanks for listening. Tomorrow, Jim Comey testifies, and people of Great Britain, don't be fuck ups. You're voting tomorrow.
Yeah, well, they saw what happened here.
Please get it right. We'll see you on Friday with another new show.
And last time that, yeah.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and please support the show by shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.